Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/diagram now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more features like advanced shapes, dependency mapping, and two-way Jira syncing. Get started today at Miro.com/diagram now.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds, and just about everything sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yep. That play in particular to me is probably the worst play that Derek Carr made for me in that season, because he threw a pick six to a Falcon player and it contributed to the win for the Falcons beating us in that game. Matter of fact, that game was the game where I lost that game, which means I had to put on that Falcon shirt because of this. So pardon me for being a little upset about that game, because I actually bet my dog Big Low, who runs a Falcon platform, y'all know Low, and that was the thing, that the Saints would beat the Falcons. I felt like, man, we should be able to beat these people. So when that happened, I had to put on the goddamn, I lost the game because of that pick six and other things. They just sucked. And then I had to put on a Falcon. Me, a diehard black and gold man, had to put on a Falcon jersey. And I don't even hear the end of it. They still putting that up on social media. Good thing he can sit up here and laugh about it, because I don't find it was funny. You know, I thought it was pretty sad. That's why I had to pause, be like, man. And he said he looked at Jesse Bates. He said he looked at him. You know how many times I studied that play, family? How many times I studied that play? Because I couldn't understand how he, because he looked and he stared the wide receiver down. And it wasn't an accurate ball. That ball was either going to be, looked like it was going to be either knocked away or intercepted by the cornerback that was on the wide receiver. I forget who he was throwing to. I think he was throwing to Rashid Shaheed. Y'all correct me in the chat, because a lot of the details of it, I just abruptly forgot because it was such a terrible play. But he said he looked at Bates. Me, when I was studying the tape, it appeared to me that he didn't see Bates. And if you did see him, you didn't look him off. You didn't look Jesse Bates off. You didn't even pump fake. He looked at the guy, stared him down, and the ball was going to that other cornerback. I'm telling you, it would have been picked off by the cornerback that was on the wide receiver he was trying to throw to, because it wasn't an accurate thrown ball. And Jesse Bates read the whole play. You can look at Jesse Bates' eyes on the All-22. He's seen it. He's seen Carr's eyes directly to the ball and took it home. It was probably one of the easiest interceptions that the man ever had, because it was so simple. He didn't pump fake to freeze him or nothing, or pretend to go in one. He just stared it down, threw it, pick six to the house. Oh, yeah. By the way, he thanked him. He told him good job on the field after he pick sixed him. So, I mean, like I said, man, it's just stuff like, dude, maybe that's like a Raider thing that you do, you know, stuff like, but dog, man, listen, that's why I said that really kind of got me upset because I had to put that Falcon jersey on. I lost that because of that bull. Now, you're not supposed to be doing. That's why I was saying about the stare down thing. That has to be changed, man. That's not something you do. You don't. He literally stared the receiver down, and Bates read the ball, his eyes straight to the ball. He basically telegraphed, hey, man, I'm throwing this ball here. And Jesse Bates is going to go and get that thing. So, I mean, you know, I don't find that funny, man, because I had to put that Falcon jersey on, man. See, and they all remember it. They all remember it, you know. The dark side, nope, I put it out my damn mind. But I could tell you, you take your ass over there and go look at it. What is this, a Raider dude? Yeah, I forgot who the wide receiver was. I think it was Rashid Shaheed. But that doesn't matter because he wasn't going to get the goddamn ball anyway. Jesse Bates or the cornerback that was guarding the wide receiver was the one that was going to get the ball. So you can go look up the play for yourself. All right, so anyway, let's go on to the next thing, man. This is Drew, as we're going to go to some light side. This is little Drew right here. This is shout out to Drew Brees, man. We're going to play a little bit of this. This is Drew the Legend gain entry into the Saints Hall of Fame. And, of course, we got a little bit more time before, you know, he gets to the actual Hall of Fame, you know, so. Yeah, I kind of figured it was Rashid. Yeah, it was Shaheed. I thought it was Rashid Shaheed. But, you know, in the end, man, does it really matter? Like I said, Rashid wasn't going to get the ball because the ball was thrown behind him. The Raider defensive back, Falcon defensive back who was covering him, looked like he was going to pick that ball up because I was stunned. Like, man, Rashid didn't have a chance at the ball because the ball was thrown slightly behind him toward the defender, and Jesse Bates just stepped in there and just read his eyes and just picked it and took it to the house. But don't worry about that. Worry about me forgetting it was Rashid Shaheed, even though I really didn't forget it was Rashid. I said it was freaking Rashid Shaheed. But the end result was what? A goddamn pick six to the house. People are stupid as hell. Y'all know that, man. Dumbasses, man.
Yeah, you know, we've told this story many times. You know, the injury that forced me to leave San Diego. You know, never thought, you know, went through so many ups and downs there. I thought I was gonna be the starting quarterback for the San Diego Chargers forever. You know, felt like I'd kind of paid my dues there and been through a lot and fought through multiple quarterback competitions and getting benched a few times and, you know, them bringing in people to take my job and, you know, all those things, right? And I'm so grateful for that, you know, because I think that molded me in so many ways and it really helped me develop a lot of great mentors that became mentors for me even to this day, but certainly throughout my career. But point being, you know, I thought I was going to be there forever and all of a sudden it felt like it was taken away from me in the blink of an eye when I had my right shoulder dislocation in the final game of the 2005 season, going into an off season where I didn't have a contract. And to say things looked bleak and were pretty scary, I take myself there at times and I really thought I might not ever play football again. And that was to feel like your dream was just totally being ripped away from you. And best thing I ever did was go see Dr. James Andrews in Birmingham, Alabama. And have him look at me and say, hey, it's bad, but we'll get through it. And yeah, I'm not even sure the extent of the injury until I get in there and take a look at it. So as I was being put under, the anesthesia, getting ready for surgery, I still had no idea what the future held or the extent of the injury. And I'll never forget waking up from coming out of the the anesthesia in the recovery room, and I'm looking at Brittany, just going, you know, where's Doc? You know, did they have to cut me? I was saying all kinds of crazy stuff, and Dr. Andrews comes in and basically says, if I did that surgery 100 times, I couldn't do it as well as I just did it. And I say, well, that's what you want to hear. But he said, but now it's on you, and it's an 8-month process before you're going to be able to throw again, and it's going to be 2 years before you feel normal again. I said, well, what does that mean? He said, you'll find out. So that was pretty daunting, you know, pretty daunting. And still at that point, it's okay, well, we did the surgery, but it doesn't mean that anybody's going to be interested, right? Especially since free agency was only 2 months later in March of 2006. And, you know, I'm 8 weeks post-op. I can't do anything other than just lift my arm to here, right? So when Mr. and Mrs. Benson come and pick me up, and me and Brittany in Birmingham, Alabama, and all I can do is barely shake their hand and do this, I don't know how much confidence that instilled in them at the time. To say that our visit here was nothing short of amazing. It was divine. From the moment of, you know, look, we pull up to the Saints facility here, and half of it was still taken over by the National Guard, right? So they sneak us in the back door. The window tint in the limo as we were driving from the airport to here was the darkest window tint ever. Like, you couldn't see out of it. And they told me, well, we just want you to have some privacy. It was, no, they didn't want me to see what that drive with all the devastation. We show up here at the facility and have a chance to meet everyone. And Sean Payton immediately gets on the blackboard and starts drawing up my offense from San Diego. And I said, well, wait a minute. I thought we ran the West Coast offense and you know, that's your style. He said, no, we're building this thing around you. I said, so we're taking everything that you're good at, and we're going to put you in the best position to succeed, and we're going to do this together. And so right off the bat, it was like, wow. You know, I thought first-time head coach, you know, coming in with all this pressure and all these expectations and so much to prove, I thought it would have been a my way or the highway approach all the way, but it was much different. He was making it a collaboration, and he instilled a ton of confidence in me right away. Going to eat at Emerald's restaurant where we got to sit in the kitchen, and Emerald's whipping us up a meal, basically saying, hey, you sign here, I'm gonna cook your first meal in your house. He hasn't done that yet. He still owes me, Emerald, if you're listening. But to a person, everyone who came up to us at that time said nothing about the New Orleans Saints. They said everything about, thank you for wanting to be a part of this city. Thank you for considering us. We would love to have you. So you just felt the culture. You felt the love. You felt what is, you know, makes this place so unique. And then, of course, Sean driving us to Mandeville to show us the house that he's building, saying, hey, look, you know, there's places to live. You can raise a family. It's not all devastated. And then getting lost in Lakeview and, you know, stopping the car because we couldn't drive around the tugboat in the middle of the road. But that was when we felt the true calling that we belonged here. And not many opportunities in life do you get a chance to be a part of something so much greater than yourself. And it was about resurrecting one of America's greatest cities. And we had a chance to be a part of that. And we're forever changed.
That was pretty awesome, man. That was a good little breakdown, man. Drew. Yeah. Because, yeah, the free agency situation that was happening was because you had Drew and Dante Culpepper, and Miami, who was being ran by Nick Saban, who was the head coach and general manager for 1 year before he went to Alabama. That next year he went 8-8. He was trying to get a quarterback there, and it was between Dante Culpepper and Drew Brees. And we knew that based on the situation that was going on with the team, nobody really didn't want to come to New Orleans, man. New Orleans was coming off a losing year. The city was underwater, you know, ravaged the practice facilities and all that kind of stuff. So it was like it was difficult recruiting players to come here. So, yeah, you couldn't have picked, like, between New Orleans that just came, you know, that was underwater, and Miami, you know, a lot of players like, oh, man, who wants to deal with this? But it was the right move. So thank you, Nick Saban, for doing what you did that 1 year, choosing Culpepper over Drew Brees, man. So thank you. Big ups to freaking Nick Saban, general manager Nick Saban, for making that charge, man. That thank you.
Achievement or anything that's
you know, there's, I mean, so many incredible memories. You know, honestly, the best memories were the people and my teammates. I felt like we had something really, really unique here. You always, you know, you talk about, you know, how do you build a great team? Well, you got to have a great core, right? And when you have the great core, that's what helps define the culture, right? And then in every team, hey, you have pieces that come and go, right? You know, role players or this or that or, you know, needs here and there. And they just assimilate into the culture. But the culture is built by the core. And I always felt like we just had an incredible core, right? Like when I think back to the receivers that I had early in my career here. You know, Marcus Colston, Robert Meacham, Devery Henderson, Lance Moore. Like those four guys for seven straight years. Like
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Smells like pine. She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad stretch. Feeling pine so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next, you need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/retro now for a free business plan trial to unlock advanced retro tools like private mode, voting, and two-way Jira syncing. That's Miro.com/retro now.
When has that ever happened anywhere else? Those four core and like the way that they complemented one another and the way they set the tone with the way that they practiced and just like everything about them, like they inspired us all and certainly made my job a lot easier. Like our offensive line, like I have this like my favorite. One of my favorite pictures in my office, besides that of my kids and my daughter and my wife, you know, playing sports or what have you, is this picture of our line from the Super Bowl, right? And I'm just sitting there going down the line, and I'm like, man, Bushrod, Nix, Goody, Jari, Stinch, and then Streif as our jumbo tight end at the time. Obviously, was a mainstay as a starter here for a long time too, but. I mean, those guys inspired me every day, and I wouldn't have been able to accomplish any of those things without them, and it certainly would not have been as enjoyable without them either. Like they were the reason that, you know, I wanted to walk in here every day and be my very best was for guys like that.
Drew, one of the classic photos of all time was you won the Super Bowl.
Yes, indeed, man. Drew Brees, man. The core sets the culture. The core sets the culture. The core. Yes, indeed. So, I mean, that's from the legend. That's something, you know. We definitely agree about that, man. Yeah, that's a lesson for our current Saints. The core sets the culture. They got to set the culture, fam. For winning again, because we forgot. We got a little amnesia on that right now. We got to get back to winning.
Raising your son up after the Super Bowl. Can you relive that a little bit for us?
Well, I can't do it anymore. it's funny the visions that you have. And look, I was a sports junkie growing up, right? Like, that's all I wanted to do. Me and my younger brother Reed, just outside, out in the yard, playing sports, denting our parents' garage with tennis balls, pitching to each other, you know, breaking the neighbors' windows. Don't get any ideas. But just playing ball, you know. And you know, everything was a competition, and everything was visualizing what we hoped to come, right? So you're on the basketball court. It's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, right? You're making the game winner. You're sitting there at the free throw line, you know, having to drain 2 free throws to win the game, or, you know, Ted Williams, you know, 3-2 count, bottom of the ninth, right? Like all that. And so one of those visions was Super Bowl champion, and I'm going to be holding my son. So when it actually happens, it's hard to put into words.
Congratulations. Can you maybe put how you're regarded now as a unanimous, you know, as soon as you're eligible, in the context of
yeah, you know, so I think I'm a product of not getting what I want. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, had you asked me what I wanted when I was in high school, and I was an athlete, I was playing football, basketball, baseball, like the order of the sports that, had you asked me, you know, what was my favorite, I would have said baseball, basketball, football, right? So if you asked me what I aspired to be, it's I'm going to be the next Ted Williams, right? Like I'm going to go on and play college baseball, play in the pros, play baseball, right? Football was something I did because I love the game. I love to compete. But really it's because I lived in the state of Texas and that's what we did. We played football. And it was a bit of a family tradition. So that, number one, never thought I'd be necessarily a professional football player. Number two, when it did come time to, hey, all of a sudden, you know, I'm starting quarterback for the varsity and we're going on and winning a state championship and I'm having a chance to play in college and I want to stay in the state of Texas, right? But nobody in the state of Texas wanted me, right? So my only two offers were Purdue and Kentucky. And I chose Purdue, honestly, because first off, I felt when somebody first told me I was being recruited by Purdue, I thought it was Ivy League. So I didn't even know Purdue was in the Big Ten. I didn't know where Purdue was. West Lafayette, Indiana, by the way, in the middle of the cornfields. I'll never forget my first visit to Purdue University in the middle of January. All I heard was how beautiful the campus was, red brick buildings. John Purdue owned a red bricking company, so the charter was that all the buildings on campus would be red brick. I show up and there's like 15 feet of snow on the ground. I can't even see these buildings, right? Can't even see my hand in front of my face, right? It's snowing so hard. So I'm sitting here going, what am I doing? I'm a Texas kid. I'm supposed to be playing baseball, and now I'm coming up here to the middle of the cornfields to play football. But I chose Purdue because of its academic reputation, because in my mind I was thinking, I'm coming up here to get a great education. I'll go off in the business world and make a career out of that. had success at Purdue University, expected to be a first-round pick, because I think in your mind, I think that's how you're kind of judging your own value, is the higher I get drafted, the better that people perceive me. At the end of the day, it's not about that. It's about ending up in the right place. And I fall to the second round, but I go to the San Diego Chargers. It was the best place I could have gone because I had a chance to play behind Doug Flutie and play for Marty Schottenheimer. Two incredible influences on my career. I wouldn't be the player that I became without them. And then going through all the adversity that I went through there, never would have expected being benched so many times or having people brought in to take my job or having then to suffer the injury, which then led me here, right? So all of these examples of me not getting what I wanted, and yet it was molding me, it was strengthening me, it was turning me into who I was supposed to be, and it was extracting the best out of me. And it's what I try to tell these boys all the time and tell the high school kids that I get a chance to coach and others, is that it's not supposed to be easy. It's meant to be hard. And you have to look at every bit of adversity as an opportunity. It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to learn. And it's, you know, our point A to point B is not God's point A to point B. You know, it's always going to be this. And it doesn't mean you're not going to get there, but you're going to get there when the time is right and after you have had a chance to learn and grow and battle through that adversity. I always worried about guys who showed up in this building here and hadn't faced some adversity. It usually ended up being a tough road, and usually they didn't make it. It was the guys, and I think it's why we hit on so many undrafted free agents throughout, you know, our tenure here. You know, the guys like Lance Moore and the Pierre Thomases and others that, you know, they weren't drafted. They weren't highly recruited. They had to earn it every single day. They played with a chip on their shoulder. They never took it for granted, right? So I think I just got to that point where every day I woke up, I felt like I had something to prove. And I was motivated, inspired by the teammates that I had a chance to play with and for.
That was powerful, man. That was good information right there. Remember I just talked about you getting game. No matter where you get it, you got to write a right combination of words said a certain way in a certain tone that can inspire people. That was well said, man. And that was awesome what Drew Brees just talked about. And we know Drew Brees is a guy that's he's pretty, you know, he's spiritual minded. He believes in a lot of motivational things as well. He's a guy that practices not only meditation, but he also is a visualizer. And I would say he's a high degree visualizer, because I remember there were games where Drew Brees would visualize, like he would go to practice and there'd be nobody out there on the practice field except for him. And he'll visualize, he'll go through an entire game visualizing the game and what he needed to do. And that's why in majority of the games he was prepared. You know, when he got through his trials and tribulations in San Antonio and got to New Orleans, he didn't take nothing for granted. He really didn't. He was always the first in the building and the last to leave. He helped people out. He was really good at teaching people. He was excellent with the family base. He was great with the media. And he was just a champion person, man. Drew Brees, and still to this day, Drew Brees gets a lot of respect and love for people because he left a sterling example of how a football player is supposed to be. Even then, he rubbed some people the wrong way in the team. He apologized for it and said that he would learn, and he did. And like I said, man, you know, nobody's perfect, but how could you listen to what he just said and not take any inspiration from that? That was damn well said about trials and tribulations and using himself as a example of what he went through. And he said it elegantly. He made mention of the fact that your A and B is not God's A and B. Sometimes it's a little, you know, trials, and everybody up in here know they done been through some stuff and they have things that they want to accomplish. And it might not be seeming like it's hitting for you right now, you know. And sometimes you get caught looking at other people, which is what you're not supposed to do. You have to understand everybody got their own path. If you really are serious about walking it, You got to walk it on through. So, I mean, I just love that example of what he said, man. So, yeah, that should be, I'm going to kind of stop it on that because that was a great, great story and a testimony. Pretty much that was a testimony that he gave. And you can look at Drew. He looks, he's emotional. You can see he's choking back some tears because it's an honor, you know, and ultimately we know we're going to see Drew in the big hall of fame when it's all said and done. That's the guy, undersized, not the biggest arm. So like I said, you got to know the story. It's an inspirational tale. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the strongest, throw of the ball, but he found a way to get to where he wanted to be. He got into the NFL with his statue, with his not being able to be, you're not the big arm that the NFL wanted, but he beat a lot of the guys with the big arm, statistically speaking. So it just talks about, you know, things that you feel like you might need to have. And he just did something else. He just focused on the mental aspects, his accuracy, and became more accurate than most of the quarterbacks with the big arm. It's just amazing, man, the Drew Brees story, man, like many others. And Drew Brees deserves this, man. So congratulations to Drew for his Hall of Fame induction for the Saints Hall of Fame. And listen, in a little while, he'll be put into the big hall. No doubt about it. First ballot Hall of Famer. That's what Drew Brees is going to be. Little Drew from Purdue is a Hall of Famer, a Saints Hall of Famer, and future NFL Hall of Famer. First ballot. So with that being said, man, we're going to cut out on that, man. Listen, I appreciate all you guys for chiming in on our reaction stream for today. Much love to every last one of you guys. I hope you had a good time. Please do me a favor by hitting the like buttons. If you're on YouTube, if you're in Facebook, Twitter, or X, or Instagram, wherever you are, give me a like button from where you are. Shout out to our Instagram families chiming in on us. That cat, that car cat, shout out to you, fam, and K Ackett. Hope I'm saying that right. And if Ghazi, shout out to some of the family members on the gram and Twitter and all those places, Twitch. Big ups to you and LinkedIn. Y'all hit the like buttons respectively. Listen, fam, we're going to bounce back. And we'll see about tomorrow. We'll see what's going on tomorrow. If not tomorrow, it'll probably be on Saturday. We'll come back with another stream, maybe a call-in stream on the weekend where we hear from you guys. We'd love to hear you guys' takes on the Saints so far. But yeah, man, this was a good reaction stream. Reacted to three different interviews today, man. So I hope y'all enjoyed it, man. But listen, thank you, Atlanta, Georgia faithful. Appreciate that. Thank y'all, man. Divine, I see you, fam. Appreciate you as well. Big ups to y'all. Man, listen, I'm going to get on out of here, man. Y'all hit the like button and share. And I'm going to holler at y'all on the next one. We'll be back probably, I'm doing the Pelican Post Game Report stream tomorrow, covering all the latest stuff on the Pel. So y'all be looking out for that. Got some other stuff that we'll be dropping on. Some boxing commentary as well. All that stuff will be happening coming up close to the weekend. So I'm going to holler at y'all on the next one. Much love. And who that to you?
The Sports Comb is brought to you by Bet Online, where the game starts.
When it comes to running your banking, retail, or restaurant business, you are the expert. But when it comes to helping you power your technology strategy, let us be your techspert. At NCR Voyix, we're shaping the future of commerce with industry-defining technology. We'll handle the tech stuff, so you can focus on keeping your customers happy. Learn more at ncrvoyix.com. ncrvoyix.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.